Okay. We'll be back at 11.
You are now being recorded. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Or, of course, on like a future Asher Cole video. Okay, here's Dr. Severs. Okay. What's up, Doc?
How are you?
Okay, so tonight we are talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And first of all, thank you for Mrs. Litzman for making a lot of emails and phone calls and whatnot. And thank you all for coming. And hopefully we'll be finished in a timely fashion so those who have elsewhere to go can get there in a timely fashion. But I will be happy to stay for any questions afterwards, if there are any. Okay, so this is part of a three-part series on Tisha B'Av. Tonight I wanted to focus on appreciating what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk about a Beis HaMikdash for a couple minutes here. If I were to ask you, what is the purpose of a temple, of a Beis HaMikdash? Maybe just go around the table and ask everyone. What would you say?
A place of gathering.
Okay.
Sacrifices.
The only place that sacrifices could be made.
Okay.
A way to show appreciation to God if you come with the sacrifices.
Okay, that's part of sacrifices.
Okay.
What are you? Anyone else?
Well, it's a mitzvah deraisa for a place to do a vodas Hashem.
Okay, a mitzvah in the Torah to serve Hashem.
And we are
also
commanded three times a year to come there.
To visit. Okay. So a place where we go three times a year. I think serving Hashem. Let's add prayer to that. Also, it's called kibesi beis tefila. Yikari l'chalam, in my house will be a house of prayer. So there's a connotation of prayer over there. It's also a anyone else before I say my two cents.
Place to come close to Hashem.
What's called in the Torah, the Mishnah is called Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. Right? It's called the tent of meeting where we meet with Hashem. So it's a place to meet Hashem. In the first Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, there were Kruvim. Kruvim were an image of two children on the top. And when the Jewish people were fulfilling Hashem's will, then they faced towards each other. And when they were not fulfilling Hashem's will, they faced away from each other. So it's a place of meeting, as it were. That signified the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, on top of the Ark. And another element of that is it's a place where the Shekhinah, however exactly you want to translate that word, Shekhinah, what we'll call divine presence for now, the manifestation of Hashem in the world, where it rests. Right? We say in the Torah when they built the Mishkan, V'asali Mikdash, they shall make for me a sanctuary, V'shachanti B'socham, I will dwell among them. More about that later, but that's that Hashem dwells among the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have all these elements. We have an element, it's a place of gathering for the Jewish people, where they go on the Shalosh Regalim, on the three festivals. It's a place of sacrifices, a place of service of Hashem and of prayer. It's a place where Hashem resides, as it were, where the Shekhinah resides. And it's a place of meeting for the Jewish people and Hashem. There may be others as well. These, I think, are five of the major points. So, five which are kind of related to each other. They all have to do with us and Hashem, but seemingly disparate elements. So the question is, obviously, we know that in Judaism, whenever you find a lot of things in one place, they're all connected. They're all connected to each other. So if everything is happening in the Beis HaMikdash, that means there's something very important about the Beis HaMikdash that unites all of these different themes together. And let's just put, on the top of all that, the in a sense, the crowning achievement of the entire purpose of the Jewish people going out of Egypt was to come to the land of Israel and build the Beis HaMikdash. We say by the Seder on Pesach in that long piece, Dayenu, what's the last thing? We say that if Hashem would have not brought us into Eretz, if Hashem would have brought us into Eretz Israel and not built the Beis HaMikdash. And so the last step from taking us out of Egypt through the entire process is bring us into Eretz Israel and building for us the Beis HaMikdash. That is the last step, which means that's kind of the crowning achievement of the entire process is the temple is the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, as important as the Beis HaMikdash is, as much as we mourn over it, or we try to mourn over it on Tisha B'Av, as much as we recognize that we're in exile and we don't have a temple, we at the same time seem to do nicely as a nation without it also, to a degree, right? We function, we have communities, we have a Torah, we study, we pray. So we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and you know, to a degree, we kind of like, okay, so we don't have it. We'd love to have it. There are people who like to feel it's their God-given duty to walk all over the Temple Mount to show that it's ours. I'm not getting involved in that, but that's... but what is the significance and the importance? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal? And how do all these elements come together in a Beis HaMikdash? Let's start with Yaakov and the ladder. Everyone remembers Yaakov and the ladder? Yaakov is fleeing from Esav, and he lays down to sleep. Where does he lay down to sleep?
At the side of the Beis HaMikdash.
The side of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Rashi tells us that he actually passed it by. He decided to go back, and he went to sleep at the side of the Beis HaMikdash. And he has a dream, and in the dream he sees a ladder. And Rashi tells us that the top of the ladder was over one city, the bottom of the ladder was over another city. And says Rashi, the middle of the ladder was over the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? There's a geography lesson for you from Rashi. You want to know where to put that ladder on the map?
I don't understand. The top of the ladder...
The top of the ladder, he says, I believe, was over Be'er Sheva, I think, he says. The bottom of the ladder, I don't recall where he says it was, where it's located.
It's like a ladder that's like...
Oh, the ladder was at an angle, yes.
Beis Hel,
okay. Perhaps you're right, I don't remember. But it makes sense, because so it could be the bottom was a Beis Hel. But the point I want to focus on is Rashi is the middle of the ladder was opposite the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that significant? Why is that important? Why is that important? Now, we also, it's a question, why is it important where the top and the bottom was, but we're not talking about Be'er Sheva or Beis Hel tonight. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, so we'll focus on that. Maral says a fascinating thing. Maral says the following. The Maral says, you have two major elements in creation. You have Shemayim, heaven, and you have Aretz, earth. They are two very distant places from each other. Not just in terms of physical miles, physical distance, but in a spiritual sense, they're very far apart. Why? Because heaven is always looked at as the bestower or the giver, the source where things come from. Rain comes from heaven. Sunlight comes from heaven. Right? So Shamayim, heaven, is the source both physically and spiritually where everything comes from. Hashem is up in Shamayim, is up in heaven. Hashem bestows down upon us on earth. The Aretz, the earth, is looked at as the receiving end of things. Where things come, where they're received, where they're developed, and where they're brought into full bloom, quite literally. Okay? So you take a seed, you put it in the ground, rain falls from heaven. If you're in Denver this year, lots of it. Then eventually the sun comes out, and you get sunshine, lots of it, and you get a nice plant, you get flowers. Why? Because the rain fell from heaven, the sunshine came from heaven, and develops, the earth then develops and brings forth the fruit. So says the Maharal, heaven is where all of the, everything is coming from, but where it's brought into wholeness, into perfection, into completion, is through earth. But they're two totally different modalities. They're two complete opposites. Heaven is where everything is coming from. Earth is where everything is received. And they're completely different. And that's true in a physical sense. It's true in a spiritual sense as well. Hashem bestows upon us His kindness, His goodness, all that comes from heaven. And we, down here on earth, in the physical world, we receive it. Okay? So the Maharal says, really, these two things are completely disconnected from each other. How do they unite? How do they come together? How does heaven connect to earth? How does heaven's goodness, the goodness that Hashem bestows upon us from Shemayim, how does that get to earth if they're opposites? Opposites don't meet, they don't join. I know opposites attract, but in for our purposes, generally when two things are complete opposites, they don't work with each other. So how is it that two things that are totally opposite, how do they connect? Says the Maharal, through the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is, he says, Ba'emta, in the middle. You have heaven, Shemayim, on one end, which he calls the right side, is always the side of giving. And you have earth, Aretz, on the left side, which is the side of receiving, developing. And Beis HaMikdash is dead center. Right in the middle. And that is the point where they connect, where they meet. So if you've ever heard the expression, that the Beis HaMikdash, or Jerusalem, or the land of Israel, is the point where heaven and earth kiss or meet. If you ever heard that expression, now you know where it comes from. Okay? So, right off the bat, says the Maharal, this Rashi is teaching us a very, very fundamental principle, a very fundamental idea. The reason why in Yaakov's dream, on the ladder, the Beis HaMikdash was in the middle, is because the middle is vital. The middle is equidistant from one end, one extreme, from the other extreme, and the two are able to meet in the middle, and he says that's why the ladder wasn't straight up. It was at a diagonal. Because you can't have an extreme of being straight up, you can't have the other extreme of being straight horizontal, you have a diagonal, which is the meeting of both. Everyone knows why mezuzah is on there?
Yeah, it's...
On a slant? Mezuzah on a slant?
Yeah, it's a compromise.
Huh? It's a compromise. But really, people make a mistake. People say, well, when you come into a house, you have to compromise. So the mezuzah is on a slant. Really, that's true. But that's the end of it. Really, there's a machlekes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. If a mezuzah is straight or it's horizontal, so we put it on a slant. Then, they tell you, when you come to the house, you have to compromise. That's also true. That's the end. But the point is that the ladder is on a slant, and the Beis HaMikdash is what brings the two modes together. There's a fat, yeah.
What's happened up to the time of the Beis HaMikdash was there?
There were karbonos before that, but Hashem chose the point, the side of the Beis HaMikdash, and at that point, that became the only point. As Sheldon said earlier, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, you cannot bring karbonos anywhere else.
Yes.
Right before that, you could.
Yeah.
Right.
But you said that all the bracha that happened is because of the two.
Okay, so I'll try to expand on that. Yeah. Let me just make another point over here. Some of you may be familiar with I believe it's a medrash, that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted trees and plants from all over the world in the area around the Beis HaMikdash. All over the world. Plants from Alaska, planted over there. Plants from Chile, planted over there. I don't know if he got grapes in January or not, but you know, he planted some, you know, Florida, New York, you name it. He had every plant in the world, even though it's not the perfect climate, he planted it there. Now, how did he do that? He didn't have every climate in the world in the area around the Beis HaMikdash. But the answer is as follows. Everything comes down from heaven towards earth. Where does it come? At the side of the Beis HaMikdash. Maral says it's like the umbilical cord of the world. Okay? Which, by the way, is in the center of the body. Right? It's in the middle. That's where everything comes through. So, the Beis HaMikdash is where everything comes from Shemayim, spiritually, to the earth. And so if Shlomo HaMelech, with his great wisdom, knew exactly where to tap all the different spiritual powers that would allow all the trees in the world to grow. But where is it coming through? The Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo knew this spot, this is where the Shefa, this is where the power, the spiritual power is coming for orange trees to grow. Plants oranges over here. Over here he knows that apples, this is where the spiritual power for apples, plants apples over here. Every spot he planted where that particular spiritual power was coming down to allow that to grow. It's all coming through the site of the Beis HaMikdash. He knew where that was, and he was able to tap into it. And that was how he was able to plant every type of tree from all over the world. It's not climate sensitive. If you know how to tap into the spiritual power, you can make it work that way. So that is the idea of a Beis HaMikdash. And so consequently, the Beis HaMikdash in its essence is the point where we earthlings stuck here on earth, we humans, meet Hashem. That's where we meet heaven. That's where we connect. That's the site of the greatest connection on earth. Because everywhere else, you're on earth, Hashem's in Shemayim, and, you know, never the twain shall meet in a sense. But where do you get the point of meeting of connection? Where's the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, where Shemayim and earth come together? At the point of the Beis HaMikdash. On the side of the Beis HaMikdash. And specifically where? On the side of the Kruvim, where the Kruvim stood, on top of the Ark, on top of the Oren. That exact spot is where, Chazal tell us, Hashem's voice emanated from, and Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Mishkan, and later in the Beis HaMikdash. That is the holiest point in the world. And the Gemara says that it did not take up any space. The Ark did not take up any space. It didn't take up space. Why? It's not just some neat magic trick, or, you know, you want to be able to fit more furniture, so we'll give you some stuff which doesn't take up any space. Because this is a point on earth which is not beholden to the constraints of physical limitations. It's not stuck in the physical world. This is the point where heaven and earth come together, where they meet in the middle. So if this is where they meet, so then that spot is not constrained by the normal rules of nature, of the physical world. It's not. And so it will not take up any space at all. Yes?
This came to mind. The flip side of that is I was thinking that as you're describing it, that this is the place Hashem manifests on earth and his connection is there. And I was thinking, well, that sounds like it's constraining Hashem physically on earth. But the flip side of what you say of the takes up the Aaron takes up no space, and at the same time, then Hashem is not constrained by the space of being in the base of Egypt.
In a sense.
He can't.
Actually, Moshe asked your question.
Really?
Yes. Moshe said, Hashem said, there you go. So, great minds think alike. Hashem said, I'm going to build me a tabernacle, a Mishkan, and I will dwell among them. Hashem said, is there a building which could contain your glory? Right? So, that's a separate discussion, which is not for now. But it's a much bigger discussion. But your point is well taken. I mean, it is above physical, but nonetheless, you're talking about the infinite God. So how does he reside in any one spot at all? That's a much broader discussion.
It's interesting that Dafka the Aaron did not take place and not anything else that had also big Kedusha.
No, but the Aaron had the greatest Kedusha.
The greatest?
Yes. Yes. The Aaron, I'm saying the Kruvim were on top of the, were part of the Aaron. They were on top of the Aaron. Okay? I mean, it says that many of the B'nai Kahas, of the family of Kahas, a lot of them died carrying the Aaron in the desert because they didn't treat it with the proper respect. Now, I don't think they were texting while they were carrying it. You know, I think proper respect, you're talking about great people, it means you're carrying the Aaron. So any slight lapse of concentration for a moment, you know, was grounds ready for them to die. Okay? Uzzah was when the Aaron was being carried on the wagon, it fell off and he dove to grab it. He died. Okay. Now, what do you mean? He's supposed to think for a second. You know, he only had a mind to catch the Aaron. He should have realized that the Aaron could save itself. What kind of mistake is that? But when you're messing around at the highest point, you can't afford to make any mistakes. You know, this is the highest point of Kedusha.
Must be something.
Well, it was because David made a mistake in letting it be carried in a wagon instead of having it carried manually. Okay, so that is what the Beis Hamikdash is.
So wait a minute, it was his mistake. Why?
Well, Uzzah made a mistake in trying to catch it also. David made a mistake in letting it be carried in the wagon, and then when it fell, Uzzah made a mistake in trying to catch it.
He shouldn't have tried to catch it.
He shouldn't have tried to catch
it.
He
should just let it fall.
No, he should have realized that it can take care of itself. That is what it says. I know at this point I did not look into, so I can't comment on it. You say, well, you're supposed to rely on miracles. It seems like at that point he should have relied on it rather than try to catch it. That is what Chazal say. I can't say more than that. I'm sure it's spoken about. I just don't know more than that. Okay, so that is the essence of the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is the point where heaven and earth meet. So now let's go back, and we discussed a bunch of things that the Beis Hamikdash represents or was, and let's see if we can now have an appreciation of these different areas and what it is we're missing in terms of, now we say it's the place of meeting. That itself is really grounds enough for us to realize, okay, we have Torah, we have prayer, but and in fact when one prays, you're supposed to face towards the Beis HaMikdash. Even if you're not facing towards the Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to be mechaven, you're supposed to have in mind that your prayers are moving towards that spot. Because at the end of the day, even today, all prayers kind of move and ascend to heaven from that place. From the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where they ascend to heaven. And that's where all the spiritual power of the tefillahs go up to Shemayim. So, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have this place today to connect, to bring our physical world in closer contact to its spiritual origins, to where everything comes from. And that itself should give us pause to say, okay, we have a lot of wonderful things. But we're missing ultimately, the ultimate purpose, as I mentioned earlier, the Jewish people left Egypt, and the final step in Dayenu is to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the last step. Because ultimately, we left Egypt, we got a Torah, for what purpose? To bring Hashem into the world, to allow the world to connect to the spiritual realm, to bring the Shekhinah into the world. So we said a few things. We said, it's a place of prayer, it's a place of sacrifices. It's a place for the Jewish people to gather and to come up on the festivals and the Shalish Regalim. It's a place of meeting, Ohel Moed, it's a place of meeting with Hashem. And it's a place of service of Hashem. So let's understand how all this comes into this idea. Let's start with Karbonis. And really, Karbonis, service of Hashem, and prayer are all one big category, but I'll try to discuss that. And that is as follows. What's the idea of a carbon? A sacrifice. Take an animal, put it on an altar. It's a wonderful smell for Hashem. There are a lot of aspects to a carbon. I want to discuss one aspect right now of the carbon. And that is that the Nefesh HaChaim, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, says that a carbon is from the word kirv, closeness. Now normally you say it's from the word closeness that brings us close to Hashem. He takes it a step further. Hashem wants to give us good. He wants to bestow His goodness upon the world. But He put it in our hands to bring that goodness down to the world. It really starts from Adam. Adam was created, and the Torah says that he saw there was nothing in the world. Because Hashem had waited for Adam to be created, and Adam looks around and says, nothing's growing. And he davened to Hashem, and then Hashem brought rain. Hashem brought rain after he davened. Now why did Hashem have to wait for Adam to realize the world is missing, then he prays, and then it rains? If Hashem's creating the world, let Him give Adam the completed package. The answer is, Hashem put us here to bring Him into the world. And so, Hashem has all this wonderful stuff for us. But it's up there. And it has to get here. But this is earth, that's heaven. They're far apart. So how do you get them together? You get them together when you bring a carbon, you're being makarif. You're bringing the upper worlds and the lower worlds together. Okay, think of like a pipeline. You have a pipeline, but it's missing pieces. So when you daven, when a person prays, when a person brings a carbon, he's mekarev, he's bringing the worlds together. In a sense, you are allowing the two worlds to connect, and for all of that wonderful stuff that Hashem has waiting for us, comes down through your sacrifice, through your serving Hashem, through your bringing a carbon, you're mekarev, you bring close the heaven, where everything is waiting to come down, to earth, where we're going to receive it. That is one aspect of a carbon. Okay? And he talks about over there, there are a lot of different layers and different levels of worlds, and so depending on different parts of the prayer, different levels of the worlds are connected to each other. But in a very basic sense, the point of a carbon is to bring our world down here and that world up there together. When a person davens, when a person prays, it's the same thing. The same effect is happening. It's the effect of, instead of a sacrifice, we have tefillah, we have prayer, and by us bringing ourselves, or in a sense, that the whole idea of prayer is nullifying ourselves before Hashem, throwing ourselves before Hashem and saying, you are everything, we are nothing, please help us. In that sense, we connect Hashem to our world, we connect Shemayim to Aretz, and Hashem's goodness, Hashem's Shefa, is able to come down into the world. Because there's a connection. Well, where's the point of connection? Once again, in the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we forge that connection? Where's that connection made? In the Beis HaMikdash, at the side of the temple. That's where connection between heaven and earth happens. Okay, avoda, service of Hashem, is also a similar element, because again, service of Hashem is the idea of we are bringing ourselves to serve Hashem. But I'm down here. Hashem's up there. How can I serve Hashem? How can I be a servant of Hashem? And how do I serve Hashem? Hashem put a world over here, and Hashem says, here's a world. I want you to take the physical world and sanctify it. Give it back to me. Yeah? Sanctify it. Bring it to sanctity. Well, this world is not terribly sanctified, in case you haven't noticed lately. There's not a lot of holiness going around in this world. So here we have a place where Hashem says, I'm going to let you bring the physical world and connect it back. And where is that? In the Beis HaMikdash. You could reconnect. You could reconnect. But again, where does that happen? Beis HaMikdash. It's called an Ohel Moed. It's called a tent of meeting. Why is it called a tent of meeting? where we meet with Hashem. Again, same idea. It's the point where heaven meets earth. And so we are connecting, we're meeting Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place for the Jewish people to gather and come together. Okay, all the entire Jewish nation comes together, and it says, the Torah says, on the Shalosh Regalma, on the three festivals, three times a year, everyone comes, and they come to see and be seen by Hashem, as it were. Okay, the Torah says that everyone should come and be seen in the Beis HaMikdash. The entire Jewish nation comes together. So now, this needs a bit more of explanation. So let's take a step back for a moment. When we talk about, and really, this part will give us insight also into the idea of the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed by what's called Sinas Chinam, wanton hatred. When we talk about connecting heaven and earth, or connecting the Jewish people to Hashem, it's not on an individual basis. But rather, it's on the basis of an entire body of the Jewish people. The entire body of the Jewish people, in more Kabbalistic terms, it's referred to as Knesset Yisrael. The totality of the Jewish people, okay, where the collective soul, if you will, of the Jewish people begins, is at a very high point in creation, in Hashem's world. Okay? But the only way for that connection to exist, the only way for Klal Yisrael to really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, is when everyone comes together. When everyone comes together, when Klal Yisrael ba'achdus, everyone's together, then you have this unit, right? Like we find when Hashem gave the Torah, Ki ish echad b'lev echad, that the entire Jewish nation was one person with one heart. When everyone comes together, so then there's a connection, a very special connection, that is formed between us, Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Where's the best place for that to happen? Once again, whenever we talk about connecting us down here to Hashem up there, where is it going to happen? At the point of the Beis HaMikdash. So, this really opens up a whole new realm of understanding into the Beis HaMikdash. In order for the Beis HaMikdash to exist, certainly the second Beis HaMikdash, it's predicated upon the fact that the Jewish people are connected. They have that connection. The entire Jewish people are united. When the entire Jewish people are united, they're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that fashion, as the collective soul, if you will, of Knesset Yisrael. And when that connection happens, you have a connection between Shemayim, Aretz, bingo, Beis HaMikdash. Then you have a Beis HaMikdash. You have the edifice, because the entire edifice is predicated. What's the whole point of the edifice? What is the purpose of the edifice? What is the edifice predicated on? Connection between heaven and earth. And if connection between heaven and earth is predicated upon the Jewish people being unified, if they can only connect at that level, when they're unified as one entity, so then, when everyone's together, you have a Beis HaMikdash. When you lose it, when you have Sinas Chinam, and by the way, people make a mistake. This is not a class about Sinas Chinam. But people think Sinas Chinam means, I just hate you because I don't like the way your nose looks. You know, I hate you just for no reason. You know, I just don't like you. That's not what it means. Sinas Chinam means, I don't like you, I don't have a good enough reason to dislike somebody. Everyone always thinks they have a wonderful reason. Okay? But Sinas Chinam means we don't get along, and according to Halacha, the reason for my dislike of another is not justified. So when that happens, there's a disconnect between different elements of the Jewish people, and when there's a disconnect between different elements of the Jewish people, then the entire Beis HaMikdash crumbles, because the whole Beis HaMikdash is predicated upon the connection between earth, or specifically the Jewish people on earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is where those five elements come into play. Because bottom line is, all of them trace back to one thing. Beis HaMikdash is a point where heaven and earth meet together. And so all of these things that we talked about are all elements of Shemayim meeting Aretz, of the connection between heaven and earth. So let's take this a step further. When Hashem tells Moshe to build the Mishkan, so Hashem says, as I mentioned earlier, the Asali Mikdash, the Shachanti, the Soicham. They should make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell b'soicham among them. So I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard the famous comment. It doesn't say, I will dwell b'soichoi in it. I will dwell among them, among the Jewish people. And everyone says, when I was in yeshiva, there's an expression in the Gemara, this is very tangential, but it's worthwhile. There's an expression in the Gemara which is carried over into yeshivish jargon, which carries into what I just said. And that is, the Gemara, when it talks about a dispute, and the Gemara wants to say there's no dispute, it says, Dekuli Alma Maide. The entire world agrees. Now, if you go ask Joe Shmuel on the street, do you agree to this Talmudic principle? He's going to look at you funny. He doesn't agree or disagree. So, what I was taught in yeshiva, it makes a lot of sense, is we're talking about the real world. The real world is the Torah. So, everyone in the Torah agrees to this principle. And in yeshivish jargon, in Yiddish they say, the Welt says. The Welt means the world says. And so I say, everyone asks this question. Okay? Everyone makes this comment, B'Solchem, and everyone makes the point in one way or another, and that is that there is a Beis HaMikdash in every person as well. Now I want to try to expand, because everyone knows that. There's a famous song. It's not really a song, it's a piece from the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Charedim or Sefer Chassidim. And remember, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. In my heart, I will build a Mishkan. But what does that mean? What does that really mean? I will build a Mishkan in my heart. So we have to understand what it means, what our roles in Hashem is, I will dwell among them. What it means is as follows. When Hashem created Adam, when Hashem created mankind, and after Adam sinned, and then Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov arrived on the scene, that role or that status was conferred upon the Jewish nation, mankind is a microcosm of the entire universe. Okay? So just as the Gemara always says that mankind, a human, is made of 365 gidim, sinews, and 248 limbs, so too the world, in a sense, has also 248 limbs, 365 sinews. Everything parallels everything. Ramchal makes his point very clear. He says that whatever a person does, he elevates himself, and he elevates the world. When you do something, you elevate the world with you. Because whatever you do is not just in a vacuum, it's not just you, and it's not even just you and other people. It's the entire world. Everything that we do affects everything around us. Not just affects in terms of, I created more good or evil in the world. But man is a microcosm, is an exact image of the world. And whatever mankind spiritually is comprised of, the world at large is comprised of. So if a person rectifies or fixes or does something right in a certain aspect of oneself, that fixes, that sanctifies that part of the world. So Rabbi Dessler talks about this, Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh Chaim talks about this idea, among others, that the mind of a person is like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is like the Holy of Holies. And the Gemara tells us that when Titus conquered and destroyed the temple, before he destroyed it, so he took a woman into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he took out the Sefer Torah that was there, and he committed a terrible sin with this woman on the Sefer Torah. Terrible Chil Hashem. Absolutely blasphemous, horrible, terrible. You say, nothing could be worse than that. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, if a person allows improper thoughts into one's mind, it's the same thing. Because the mind is the most rarefied part of a human. And so if a person allows sinful thoughts into the mind, that's essentially bringing that sin into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he says it's worse, because Titus is a non-Jew. So he doesn't have that spiritual connection. So he just did it in the physical world. But if a Jew does that, so you're connected to everything. So you're bringing that element of impurity, of sinfulness, not just into your own mind, but into everything that your mind is connected to. And so the Beis HaMikdash starts not on the Temple Mount, and with a fight, a political fight of whether or not, I guess I will get into it, not just a political fight of whether or not it's mine, it's not mine, I can walk there, I can't walk there. That's not the question. That's not the issue. The question is, it starts from us. It starts from our ability to create a connection, to connect heaven and earth within ourselves. Now, the Beis HaMikdash is an external manifestation of that. When the Jewish people are on a level where within themselves, as a nation, they've connected heaven to earth, where they're living at that level, where they're not just pulled down by the mundane physical world, they're not stuck. But you rise above it, and you're able to bring Hashem into your life, v'shachanti b'seichem, then you allow in the external world that you have a place on earth where that's manifest expressly as well. Then you have a Beis HaMikdash. Then you have a place where you could bring sacrifices and you can strengthen that connection between heaven and earth. You have a place where the entire Jewish nation gathers together and strengthens that connection. You have a place where everyone in the world, as we say in the Pasuk, we say in Slichas, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yikare Lechol Ha'amin, for everyone. The entire world comes there to pray. Because the entire world will recognize that this is the place where heaven and earth meet. This is the place to connect to Shemayim. So that is what our work is. And that's what we're missing in a sense. We're missing that level. We're not just missing a physical building. We're not just missing the right to walk on a mountain where a bunch of Arabs run around. Of course, it's true. It's tragic. It is tragic. It's terrible. But really where the work starts and what we're missing is, besides that external building, is within ourselves, is that level and that ability to be able to say, I'm not just a person who's stuck down here, who's just worrying what's for lunch, or when is the NFL season starting, or you know, who am I in a fight with this week, or not in a fight, and so on and so forth. But to rise above and to realize there's more to life than that, you know, that I am supposed to be working on connecting myself, my own physical little self, to a higher source. That is what a Beis HaMikdash is about. So when we come to a period of Avelis over a Beis HaMikdash, really it starts here. Really it starts with mourning over a destruction of a temple within ourselves, recognizing that the lack of that physical edifice, very, very holy, no one has a right to be over there today because we're not on the level where we have a certain tumah on us, which we cannot get rid of in today's day and age, that we can't walk there. There is too much Kedusha, there is too much sanctity. And in a sense, when we daven today, we still direct our hearts in that direction, because even though there's no Beis HaMikdash today, but that's still the place where heaven and earth meet. We don't have the perception to see it, because we're so far away. We don't merit to see it, we don't merit to have a Beis HaMikdash, but that's where it's at. But really, in order for us to merit to see it, really where it starts from is within ourselves, within our ability. The Asalim Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Seichem, is that we have to rise, we have to make that connection during this period of the 3 weeks, is a period of Avilus, of mourning. What's the idea of mourning? That Hashem is not with us. We don't perceive Hashem clearly. We perceive Hashem as being far away. Hashem's up in heaven. I'm stuck down here. I'm struggling day in, day out. So the lack of the Beis HaMikdash is a lack of connection between Shemayim and Oretz. A lack of connection. I'll just share with you one more idea on this. And that's even between the first two temples, between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a very steep drop in, if you will, the spiritual quality of the second Beis HaMikdash versus the first Beis HaMikdash. Chazal give a number of differences between the first and second temples. There were a lot of differences. Okay, just as one example, the Shechina was manifest in the first Beis HaMikdash. One could perceive Hashem's presence there. In the second Beis HaMikdash, that didn't exist. Because even though there was a temple, people were at a level to deserve a temple, they didn't achieve a high enough spiritual level that Hashem was clearly manifest in the second Beis HaMikdash as it was in the first. There was no prophecy. Prophecy is Hashem talks to humans down here on earth. That was missing. And second Beis HaMikdash era is the era where we begin to have a theology of maybe the world just kind of came into existence on its own. Maybe there really is no God. Maybe everything just runs on its own. The whole idea, which was espoused by the Greeks, only began during the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole fight over Hanukkah. The whole fight was, in a world of darkness, you have a menorah, you have a light, you could still connect to Hashem, there's still a miracle. But it was a world of darkness. You light the menorah at night, it's dark. You don't have that connection. Already in the second Beis HaMikdash era, you don't have the connection between heaven and earth that existed in the first Beis HaMikdash. So already after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, you have a very steep fall off of connection of heaven and earth that is manifest in the world. We don't see that so clearly anymore. Certainly after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and now thousands of years later, how far away are we where we don't perceive anything? Very, very little. It's a tremendous struggle for us to get to any level of spiritual perception. So when we come to a period of mourning, it's a period of mourning of that distance, which started with really the sin of the spies and their distance from Hashem. And later on, with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, that we come into a period of the 3 weeks that we are far away from Hashem. And that's the mourning. The mourning is that we're far away. He's there, but we don't perceive Him. We're far away. The connection between heaven and earth is not there. So the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash is really a mourning over a much greater tragedy, that we are here, Hashem is there, and we don't feel connected. And that's really what the larger tragedy of the Beis HaMikdash represents, and what we should be focusing on during as we come into this period of the year. Thank you for coming. Shechina is in Golus. It is. It goes into Golus. The Shechina goes into Golus, but it's not. But it's hidden. In other words, Hashem still guides the Jewish people, but it's hidden.